And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUNS, Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. I want to say thanks to people all over the country and Canada who have been emailing and checking in with me, and I'm sure with a lot of us here in Oregon right now. So thank you, especially the Nova Scotians and the New Yorkers. Well, it is 2:59, 3 o'clock, and it is time for Arts Live and Local. Arts, the antidote to all things negative. So as I alluded, I want to dedicate this show to the families, the students, to everyone who has been victimized by senseless, isn't most of it senseless, violence. And in this case, to the people of Roseburg. And we're right here in Astoria. We have our own community college. Let's make sure this community hangs together and keeps us safe.
He walked into the cafeteria. He had a gun in his hand. He walked in like a time bomb, triggered to command. He fired 41 rounds. That's how the story gets told. He killed his mother and his father too. He was 15 years old. The doctors, they pondered. They puzzled and schemed. They analyzed his body language and his camouflage dreams. They said his town was so normal, his street was just fine. All those unanswered questions, well, they're the most dangerous kind. River of rage. River of rage. Blame it on the music, it's easy to do. Blame it on the internet, and blame the TV too. Blame it on the devil, 'cause that's what he's for. But all the blame in the world won't put life back into those bodies on the floor. It's a trickery world. It's all mirrors and smoke. And the promises that they made to you, well, they were just a joke. And when you find out you've been lied to, and the lie wasn't true, you're gonna have to get mad at somebody, but you just don't know who. River of rage. River of rage. In our blood and in our memories, dream warriors fighting, gunmetal gleam, the smell of the powder, the sound of the sword, the anger of God as he rages through where the grapes of wrath are stored. America the beautiful. They say these colors don't run, Well, anywhere in the world we went, we just walked in with a gun. We blew them to pieces. We bombed them into dust. And then we raised up our children, and they turned out just like us. A river of rage. River of rage.
Well, we're here to make sure that that we don't pass on some of those ways of violence. We're here to celebrate the arts, because that's the way to spend one's energy. And my first three guests are deep in the arts and have been for a long time. Not that they're old or anything, but some are, I don't even know, about the same. Well, we might have one younger, but I can't be sure about that. The play that we're going to be talking about, written by Pulitzer Prize winner Sam Shepard, is True West, and it will be performed at the Astor Street Opry Company, or the Playhouse, I should say, the Astor Street Opry Playhouse, opening not this weekend, but the 9th, which is a week from tonight. So my guests are Marcus Brown, the director. Hi, Marcus.
Hi there.
Good to have you here.
Thank you.
And Karen Bain, who is happily back, well, happily for us, I don't know about for her, back in town. Hi,
yay.
Karen. Yeah. And you are acting in this play.
I am.
Okay. And my third guest is Mick Alderman, who, what are you doing, Mick?
I designed the lighting for the show.
Designed the lighting for the show. What a surprise. Yeah. Although those who know Mick know, he could have been in the play or directing the play or even written a script. You haven't won a Pulitzer yet, but you never know. That could come too.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot of diversity here. Karen also has directed and done just about everything around here in the theater. And Marcus has been on stage as well as, in this case, directing. So these are seasoned theater folks. And as long as I'm mentioning that, I will say that this play is recommended. I haven't seen it, but it is recommended for mature audiences. Is that correct?
That is correct.
What does that mean? Does that have an age kind of? Or some of us don't feel very mature all the time.
I would suggest that anybody under the age of 14 would definitely want to be with a parent.
Okay. Yeah, an adult, a responsible adult. Okay, so what is this play, True West? When I first saw the title, I thought it was kind of a Western.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started reading about it, and I'm going to let you tell about it, Marcus.
It is somewhat of a Western. It's set in the back hills of California, and these people that you're introduced to are somewhat wild, and one of them certainly lives in the fringe in that romanticized version of a Western. He lives off the land by his own wits, is a petty thief and a pretty disreputable character. And then his younger brother, Austin, is the Ivy Leaguer, educated, straight-laced younger brother. I think I said that.
Did they come from that area?
Yes. Yeah, so it would seem, although the younger brother, he lives up north, but there's really no backstory on these players. They just kind of appear.
Okay. Well, that's what I was wondering. How does one get to be an Ivy Leaguer and the other one is stuck where he came from?
That's the best part about this show, is the dynamics that are inside of all of our families, and the highly relatable relationship these two have with one another is something all audience members will pick up on. I think many of us have siblings or family members that will relate to watching this play, and it's a dramatic interpretation of the family dynamic.
Okay, so Karen, what's your part in this?
I'm playing the mama.
Oh.
I just come in towards the end of the play, and what would you say? Shake my boys up?
It takes an enormous amount of makeup and wardrobe to make this happen. You don't want to miss this.
Oh, good. I like it. So you don't live with either of these?
They're in my house. I've been visiting Alaska, and I come home unexpectedly.
To that part of the California?
Yeah, back to my house, which is where the play takes place.
Okay. Is that older son living? Is that your house? No, it's
neither different. Of them live there, okay. But the younger one has been using the house as a writing, as a little writing space.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, when you're talking about family dynamics, the idea of people taking ownership and the idea of meeting on neutral grounds, but I don't know, being around a mother isn't neutral ever for anyone. I have a feeling so. And let me ask you, Mick, was there anything particularly challenging about this play? Because you've done lighting everywhere in all the theaters that we've ever had in this area, and each one, I presume, is somewhat different, but concerts as well.
Sure. Yeah. Each project has its own specific set of challenges. I don't think there's anything peculiar about this play necessarily, other than, you know, the Aubrey Company space is smaller than I'm used to dealing with, and so that can make its own set of challenges.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, getting everything lit properly when you don't have as much space to work in. Typically, most of the shows I do nowadays are at the Coaster Theater, and they have quite a bit more space to work in, so it's a little bit easier. So
I'm wondering, since this, just from the idea that it's mature audiences and it's family dynamics already, I'm thinking there's a bit of grimness here.
Yeah, it has its dark moments. There's some violence and language. But there's also deep humor in the uncomfortable sensibility that these two brothers have with one another. And there's so much truth and reality in this show, but it's also like a mirage. It's hard to imagine that really existing, but it does.
Oh, yeah. As you said, I think a lot of us are going to be able to relate to it, even
very
if it's
so.
Not to that intensity,
right,
or
right.
to that end.
There's a lot of alcohol consumption for certain, but it is a fantastic, tight little piece of American theater. Sam Shepard, the famous Hollywood actor, and he is a brilliant screenwriter. He's written many, many plays, and
Was this done as a movie as well as a play?
No, this, he was a young fella. He was about 31, I believe, when he wrote this in 1980, and right out of the park.
But it was, and I hadn't known that, it was up for a Pulitzer itself.
It was nominated for
a
Pulitzer.
He
won for a following production. Mm-hmm. Titled Buried Child, which Karen knows a lot about if she produced that.
Oh, I saw that at the... You directed that at the Coaster.
I did, and...
That was fantastic.
Same author, just as haunting and...
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah, powerful. Who's in the play?
Well, the younger brother is performed by Ben Van Alsdahl, a highly recognizable local actor, talent, good buddy of mine, and all of ours in the room. And then another really good friend of mine, Jason Hippert, is playing the older brother, Lee.
Is he local?
He is local, and he's also getting married October 31st, so he is doing this incredibly difficult, time-consuming, emotional play on the eve of his wedding.
And family dynamics, too.
Yeah, he's bringing all that experience in.
Yeah, that's amazing. And Karen sort of, under her breath, whispered to me about this guy.
About Jason, I just think he's so brilliant.
Had you been familiar with him before?
Yeah, he took an acting class of mine.
Okay.
And then there's one more performer other than Karen who performs as the mother. There's the Hollywood producer performed by a gentleman named Dan Driscoll, who's a Washington native. He owns the Oysterville Sea Farms, the oyster farm up in the Upper Peninsula. Yeah. But the best part about Dan Driscoll is he's recognizable as an actor at the Opry Company is that he was a Hollywood producer for a number of years.
For real.
For reals. And has been educating me what a Hollywood producer would be like as Saul. And he brings a level of reality that wouldn't have been possible otherwise.
So, in your description of this play, I did not hear any, I didn't see any entrance for a Hollywood producer. I've got the Ivy Leaguer, I've got the backwoods, lots of alcohol that could go for Hollywood, and the mother.
Right. The storyline is the younger brother is trying to write a screenplay, and he's been meeting with a producer, this Saul character, who Dan portrays. Mm-hmm. And then basically they role reverse. It's a little more than I can explain in a short amount
of
time.
Well, we've got to come and see it. That's the idea.
Yeah, absolutely. The grass is greener on the other side of the fence, basically, for both players. And Saul just kind of gets in the middle of them, and then the mother comes in at the very end. And I'll say no more about it, but let me say it is a brilliant ending.
Wow, I can't wait. Now, I just want to check back with you, Mick. Partly when I asked about the darkness of the play, although now you've enlightened, I didn't mean that, enlighten me. in your lighting design, is that, because obviously you need to keep the players in the light, but when you're doing something that's, are you creating the mood, is what I'm asking, along with the actors? Is that part of your job? In lighting.
Oh yeah, yeah. Lighting and design in general, the design of the set, the design of the wardrobe, all, you know, the art of the thing contributes, hopefully, to the telling of the story. Sam Shepard specifies in the script at the beginning that he wants it presented realistically. He does not want any artistic license taken.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And I think certainly in his set design, Marcus has towed that line, so I've tried to as well.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, there are certain little tricks that I can do that are mood setting for
enhancers.
Scenes. Yes,
right,
exactly.
Right, right.
Which is, you know, what I try to do for every play.
And which is why it's good to have a professional, isn't it, Marcus?
It is. That's great. I go after Mick every time I direct.
Yeah, I think most people around here do. And Karen, you got back to town, a few months ago?
Mm-hmm. Midsummer.
Midsummer. And what made you jump into this?
I love Sam Shepard, and I appreciate Marcus as well, and it was a small part, something I could do before I start directing Waiting for Godot, which is auditions are coming up for.
And that's going to be audition stage in January, is that right?
Late January, early February. Late February. At the PAC.
When are you having the auditions?
Auditions are August 15th.
Not October.
October. Where am I?
I know those
people. I was back to when I came back.
Right.
October 15th at 6 o'clock in the PAC and October 17th at 2 o'clock in the PAC.
Okay, so right in the middle of this play. I love it. Busy people are busy because this play, which opens a week from tonight, October 9th, runs through the 24th, and it is a 7 o'clock show on Fridays and Saturdays, and there's one Sunday show on the 18th, not this weekend, but next week, no, 2 weeks from now, Sunday, and that will be at 2 o'clock, so it's 3 weekends, basically, and it sounds like it's a must-see. Now, for people to get tickets, is it best for them to call?
They can call the Astor Street Opry Company, or they can go online to www.astorstreetoprycompany.com, and they can order their tickets online.
Okay.
I'd like to call and leave a message, and you get to talk to Chris Lynn Taylor.
There you go. She'll get back to you, and that's 503-325-6104. Again, the play is True West by Sam Shepard. You can look it up. What was the name of that place for them to look it up? Shoop or?
Shoop.com is a fun place to go. Wikipedia has an honest website. But, mm-hmm. of course, Samuel French, the playwright's playhouse that gives the right to mm-hmm. produce the play, is a great place to get information as well. And that's at SamuelFrench.com.
So if you want to check it out before you come, sounds like it's going to be powerful, but quite a pleasure also to see. So, opening next week, thank you so much. Marcus Brown, director, Karen Bain, in this case, actor, mother, and Mick Alderman, lighting designer, all from at the Astor Street Opry Company, 129 West Bond. And often you can get tickets at the door, but it's good to get them in advance. Do you know if this is... assigned seating?
It will be assigned seating,
yes. It
will.
Okay, so it's mm-hmm. not open admission, so good to call and get your tickets in advance, and you get to choose where you want to sit. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Karen, break a leg. The rest of you, don't. And I will see you at the play, if not before.
Great.
Looking forward to it. Okay.
Thanks,
thank you,
Carol.
Bet.
And this is Coast Community Radio. I want to play a song from Carrie Newcomer, La Paloma, from her album Regulars and Refugees. She's going to be at the Columbia Theater in Longview tomorrow evening. It's the Association for the Performing Arts. And it is a very special production because it's on stage. And the audience is on stage as well. There's only 60 tickets. But they may have some left. You can give them a call, 360-423-1011. And check it out. Or Columbia Theater, no end, Columbia Theater with an RE.com. Let's have a listen to Carrie Newcomer. Thanks for being here, folks.
Sit down here in the alley where no one can see you cry. Troubled dogs us like a shadow, though I cannot tell you why. Life's a fine and fleeting moment, bittersweet and hard as stone. I can't change what fate has dealt you, but no one should walk alone. Fly away, La Paloma, take my love when you go, where no somewhere a door is opening and another door is closed. The sunset wraps its shawl from here to Mexico. There's a sound of wings around you like the rustle of a skirt, and it's gone before you know it, all those tender little birds. Fly away, La Paloma, take my love when you go, where no one can harm you, and there's nothing you need. We're not as far as we believe. I dreamt that I was walking in an old familiar country. I thought I heard you singing, but I think I was just hungry. It's so many years behind me, and there's really no escape. No matter where we go, we still take our own landscape. Thank you.
Carrie Newcomer. Again, she's going to be at the Longview Columbia Theater tomorrow night in a special stage production. 360-423-1011. Another one of those precious little theaters. So give them a call and find out what, or just go online and see what else they're doing. They've got some wonderful productions coming up. Pretty exciting. Well, speaking of excitement, it's always good to find out what's going to be coming to the Clatsop College Art Gallery, because there's pretty good stuff most of the time. And my guest is Kristen Schock, who is the, I'm not even sure what your title. I know you are the art department these days.
Well, we still have a great team, although I am the only full-time person, but fabulous instructors who teach part-time.
Okay. I know you have Clay. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, I do want to mention that Richard Rowland has an opening tomorrow evening from 5 to 7 p.m. honoring the life of earthen materials. And that's going to be at the Cannon Beach Art Gallery from 5 to 7 tomorrow. It's running, the show is up through November 1st. You also have, is it David Homer in
David
photography?
David Homer teaches photography.
I love that because he's such a young guy.
He is
it's
young.
Nice
he
to
was
have
one
a,
of our students.
I know.
So.
That's very exciting.
It is, yeah.
To be able to claim that. And Lucian is there, of
Lucian
course.
Lucian teaches graphic design. We have Ben Rosenberg, who teaches printmaking.
And that's coming up soon, too. There's a printmaking... No?
Well, it didn't quite make, but we're hoping to get it running in winter term. So,
okay, folks, don't wait till the last minute for these classes up at Clatsop College, because that's the only place you're going to get it in some cases. Some wonderful instructors, but the class does have to fill.
It does. We need at least 10 for the classes to go.
Okay. Are you going to be teaching?
I am teaching. Oh, yes. We're already rolling.
Oh, you are.
Okay,
the classes
first
are happening.
First week. It's been a busy, busy week.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been great. Fabulous incoming students. So.
Excellent.
Yeah, really
Are
excited.
They mostly local people or from everywhere?
Well, I think mostly local. We've got a big influx of young people, but of course we have, in the art classes especially, students of all ages.
Yes.
So, love
yes.
that aspect.
Which is wonderful. And again, we need to support all our students, instructors, and everyone else in the community. So the reason Kristen is here is that there is a show. Is it up already?
It is up on the walls.
I thought so.
Yeah, it's been up all this week.
Yes, but the reception is October 8th, which is Thursday evening, this coming Thursday. At 6 o'clock, and then the very next day there's a workshop, and I'll let Kristen tell you about that. It's pretty nice because David Allison was one of your artists for Oh Not Terrell.
Right. So,
well, how does this work?
Well, actually, and I would love to invite everyone out there. I know we have some fabulous artists out there in your listening world.
Oh yeah.
And so the deadline for the 2016 show will be November 7th. There's still time to submit, and it will be our 10th year.
Wow.
And we're going to honor Royal.
Beautiful.
In fact, along those lines, we invited Lisa Harris to be the juror this year, who was Royal's gallerist in Seattle.
Oh, nice.
So,
very nice.
Yes, absolutely. So this last year, David Allison was invited. All of the artists who are invited to show in the exhibit are invited to submit work for the Solo Show Award. And so David Allison submitted, and we accepted his proposal.
Are you saying that everyone who shows does not ask for a solo show?
Well, not everyone is
has
in a position
work,
to... Not everybody wants to.
And they may not have...
For whatever reason.
They may not have a body of work.
They may not
show.
Because we have students, professional artists at all levels.
Right.
So, yeah,
right.
But David wanted to do a retrospective, meaning going all the way back his long career.
1975. Wow. Right.
Well, yeah.
He's not a kid.
So he's not a kid, and he has a wonderful perspective. We have pieces in there going back 40 years, I think, all the way up to a lot of it is brand new work, actually. He's mm-hmm. been making even over the summer. So there's brand new work on the walls, but also going back. Mm-hmm. Many, many years. So it's fun to see.
1975. That's what, right. 40 years. That's yeah. terrific. Okay, so tell us a little bit about his work and him.
Well, he's originally from Chicago, and he considers himself a self-taught artist, even though he did attend some art classes even at the Art Institute there, mm-hmm. But then moved to Seattle, where he's been for the last, I think, 45 years. Is that right? Did I do the math right? And he's a printmaker. He has a framer. He's been doing art. What does he call it? He restores artwork.
Right.
He built all the frames for the work. They're beautiful mm-hmm. frames, by the way.
Nice.
So, yeah, he's pretty amazing. The work is actually mixed media that you'll see in the show. And it's really delving in. He's become more recently interested in more expressive work. So it's really powerful. We've had a great response so far.
So, for Au Naturel, mm-hmm. That is the nude in the 21st century. Mm-hmm. And of course it can be abstract to as representational as could possibly be.
The full gamut.
The full gamut. Do you remember where his lay in that, spectrum?
Well, I think you'd say it's definitely representational, but not totally super photorealistic
right.
by any stretch. It's become much more expressive, but he is interested in architectural, and there's some very precise architectural drawing. In fact, there's cathedrals that he went to France and was very inspired by, and so
right.
you'll see some pieces.
Nice. So this show is obviously, from what you're saying, a much broader
Absolutely. And there
content.
Are some nudes and mm-hmm. also some contour drawings. And it'll be great to come into the gallery and look at those during the workshop as well that he's going to lead.
So one thing I jotted down that he's now interested in emotional and personal mortality, religion mm-hmm. and sexuality,
right.
which is kind of an interesting juxtaposition. And then that he never feels his work is done. What is that?
I think there's a lot of us who feel that way. I mean, and I struggle with that myself, being a little bit OCD, which is why oil painting works well for me. But yeah.
What does that mean? Because you can add at
you
any
can.
Point?
Or? You can. Unlike watercolor, for example, which you can totally overwork.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for me, I have to force myself to stop. And that's mm-hmm. a question I think a lot of us as, painters, whatever medium.
So
struggle with. So
you might finish something and then the next day you go back and
next day,
not quite.
Even the next year, the next
see.
10 years.
I see. Okay.
There's a term called Bernarding. One of my favorite artists is Bernard. And he used to sneak into people's homes or even places where his work is exhibited with his paintbrush, and he couldn't resist touching it up.
I love the concept there, and that's great. Although I must say that I deplore what someone did. Perhaps they thought it was funny up at the column. So we need say no more, but that was fortunately our artists are back up there right now fixing things up.
And right.
So, so they, Bernarding, you called it?
Bernard, Pierre Bernard.
Bernard, Pierre Bernard.
Sorry,
French.
My French pronunciation needs work.
I love the concept, though. My house could use a little Bernarding. Okay, so what is the workshop? So the opening, again, is Thursday evening, which they always are. That'll be at 6 o'clock at the art gallery
right.
at the college. And then on the 9th, which is Friday, from 10:30 till 3:30. It's all day.
Right. There will be an hour lunch break.
Okay. So. The figure thoughts on seeing.
Right.
What is that?
Well, we're going to have a live model there for a couple of hours,
okay.
and he's going to take everyone through his process coming out to the gallery, looking at the work, and then some hands-on work, talking through his process, working primarily with charcoal. So it should be
Will
really
there be a model there?
For a couple hours,
yes, at least.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, how does, who's allowed to come to the workshop, and how do they get there?
Well, anyone. We do have a limit, though, because we have only so many easels. But so far, there's still plenty of room. Okay. So just contact me, give me a call or
So you don't
email.
Have to be a student?
No, no, no.
Okay.
No, we still have some space.
And you don't even have to be an artist. You could be someone who's interested in learning.
Learning how to work with the figure.
Good.
Yeah, some interest there. Working from the figure, absolutely.
Good. Sounds wonderful. David Allison, does the show have a name?
The show is called Investigations.
Yes, I did not write that down, but I remember reading it. So,
yes.
Investigations. And the artist is David Allison, and he is a retrospective 40 years, 1975 to 2015 today. And so, next week, and how does someone sign up for the workshop?
Just give me a call, 503-338-2472, or shoot me an email, kshock, that's spelled K-S-H-A-U-C-K, at clatsupcc.edu.
Okay, sounds good. Wonderful. What comes after this show?
We will be having a faculty show,
actually
featuring Royal Nebuchadnezzar in his honor, and the rest of us will have a few pieces as well.
Wow, that's going to be exciting. So that will be November.
In November.
Okay.
Yes, I believe the 12th is the opening for that.
Very, very nice. It's nice to have the gallery back happening. And folks, if you want to know more about what is offered in the art class, could someone still get in on a class if they... And obviously not
actually,
the printmaking.
Actually, yeah, today is the last day to register without a late fee.
Okay.
So if the class hasn't filled up or been canceled, absolutely.
And
yeah.
That's that same Clatsop. What is the, what's the...
Well, I just gave my email, so anyone can email me or just check out the website, www.clatsupcc.edu.
Okay, Clatsup.
And from there, you can find out. There's a schedule posted of classes.
That would work well.
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much, Kristen Schock, the full-time instructor at Clatsop Community College Art Department. Wonderful.
Thank you so much, Carol.
Good. I look forward to seeing this show.
Yes.
And this is Coast Community Radio. That's what you're listening to. And I have some music from, speaking of all the wonderful locals, here's Luke Yitzty, who has a brand new album out, a solo album, his first, and does have Katie and Ryan and even a little Hazel on it. He is going to be doing a few CD release parties Friday the 9th, that's Friday night, a week from tonight at the Voodoo Room, Sunday at the Fort George, and in between Saturday is at 46 North Farm. That one you need tickets for. The others are drop-in. Have a listen. Thanks for being here, folks.
Of you love, you gave me a book that I have never read. Late is not how I laugh, and I dream way too fast to listen to death. When the taste town, it isn't hard to find another house that's fallen down. You slip into stop being. Time has left its sign. Light can hold up a day, lift years away, but you never mind. I'm shading your past, a snake in your grass, a figure in the flame. In the place that I
is our very own Luke Yitzde. Congratulations to Luke and to the whole family. Brand new album. Again, next weekend is the CD release. So do stay in touch. It's fantastic what kind of talent we have around here all the time. And right now, actually, we already alluded to the Coaster Theater because I believe Mick is doing... doing double duty. And did he do your lighting?
He did my lights.
He did your lights.
Yes, he did.
See, he gets around, doesn't he? We could have just kept him here. But we've got a full house with, that was the voice of Edward James, which if you are a KMUN listener, you will know from Wednesday afternoons when his show Kaleidoscope is on and you never know what you're going to get. At least I never know what I'm going to get. And my other guest is also well-known. Both of these, again, we've had five seasoned theater people. Susie Brown is here with us. Hi, Susie.
Good afternoon, Carol.
Good afternoon. So they are opening. You already opened.
We did open. We opened last week, Friday and Saturday.
Yeah. I'm so up in the head, I realized, holy cow. They are at the Coaster Theater with Bell, Book, and Candle. And I just admitted that I have never seen it on stage or in the movies. So I'll give you the logistics. It's happening now, and it's Friday and Saturday nights at 7:30. And then there are a couple of Sundays, including this Sunday at 3 o'clock, and then the 18th, and one of my favorite ways to go to the Coaster plays is Talkback Thursday, which is October 15th, when you get to stick around and ask all kinds of questions of everyone involved in the play. So, A Bewitching Love Story is the, you know, the quick title on that. Tell us about this Bell, Book, and Candle.
It was written in 1950 by John Van Druten, who also wrote I Remember Mama and Voice of the Turtle.
Oh, my goodness.
It's set in New York, where a witch is kind of bored and restless on Christmas Eve and wants something different, and her familiar brings something different into her life, which is the man upstairs.
Her familiar, you said?
Her cat.
Oh, her cat.
Her cat brings this man into her life.
Okay.
And it turns out to be more than she bargained for.
Oh.
Because she just wanted something really interesting and exciting to enter her life on Christmas Eve. And he wants love.
Oh.
And the premise is that witches cannot love without losing their power. So her struggle is between giving up being a witch and loving somebody.
So, you know...
That's the crux of the play.
Okay, now you said that's the premise. Do you think that's true?
Because people give up power? Well, sure, you give up power when you give part of yourself to somebody else.
That's very interesting, yeah. I'm going to have to go home and study on that one. Susie Brown, what are you doing in this play? You're not a witch. I knew that. Although, the truth is she is a witch, but she has powers of all kinds. Good witch. So, but not in this play.
I costumed this show, and I am actually the auntie of the main character and her brother.
Of the girl.
Mm-hmm. It is a family of witches and warlocks.
So you are a witch in the play. Mm-hmm. Oh, good. I feel better now because you Susie really does. She has those powers. And so I, you know, making you an ordinary human would be kind of unfortunate, a loss. Yes. So what did you have to do with the costumes for this play, to bring it alive?
Well, when Edward approached me in January about costuming the show, I knew immediately what I was interested in, but I needed to hear what Edward's vision was. And I've been enamored with a designer artist, Iris Apfel, for many, many years. And I'd always wanted to costume a show inspired by her designs and jewelry inspirations. So I sent him an email about that, and he said he was on board.
All right.
And it's
so now a
fun and colorful and elaborately costumed show.
Does this mean, did you actually stitch the costumes or design them and have someone, yes?
I did it.
You did.
In costuming for the local theater, sometimes you pull costumes from their department, but then sometimes you create everything from the bottom up, and I did that with a few costumes.
Wow. Well, how many are in this cast then?
Five people are in the cast, and each person has a multitude of costumes, anywhere from two to four or five costumes.
Are they playing different parts or just different times of the...
That's a rather awkward structure that we wouldn't see today. I mean, it's over a period of 2 months.
Mm-hmm. So you don't want to be
so there
the
are
same.
Ones yeah. a couple weeks later and then 2 months after that and so on. So,
wow. So five. I counted the young witch and her brother you mentioned, and you're the auntie.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the guy upstairs. Does the cat count?
Well, I guess if you think about the cat, there are six characters in it, but there is a writer.
Of magic literature.
Right.
Oh, cool. Okay, supernatural kind of. Yeah. Hey, when was this written?
1950.
Interesting.
It is kind of the basis of Bewitched.
The movie, the TV thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Elizabeth Montgomery and the various Darrens.
Okay, yeah. See, I haven't seen that either, although I once in a while I did see them doing...
But it has a serious point. It's what we have to give up in order to love. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the story.
Yeah. I'm feeling a little nervous about this. So, okay, it is happening at the Coaster Theater, which is in Cannon Beach, one of my favorite theaters because it's intimate and good seating anywhere. It's on tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 and Sunday at 3. And you can give them a call right now, I presume. Yep. 503-436-1242 and get yourself a ticket, or probably go online, Coaster Theater, that's re.com. So what else do we need to know, or should we know?
I think you need to know the names of the actors.
Yeah, for sure.
Priscilla Farrell, Farrell. It's the strangest name.
Farrell, except that there is a cat Priscilla in this, Farrell, so she could be a Farrell. Yeah.
Is Jillian Holroyd, the witch in search of love, or not in search of love, as the case may be. Derek Moore, who's a musician and actor, plays Shepard Henderson.
Is that our Derek?
No, our Derek Moore, yes, sir.
Oh, as in Derek. Oh, he's wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, he's quite wonderful in this. And he's been working on a CD the whole time that we've been rehearsing.
Yeah. So. He's not singing in the play.
No. Okay. No. Susie's in it, as is Bill Hamm, another KMUN.
Oh, boy.
He's a witch. Or a warlock, excuse me.
Warlock, I love
it. He's a warlock in
the
show.
I can't wait to see Bill. Did you dress him up appropriately?
I think so.
Yes, he's appropriate.
Again, same day as Edward, Wednesday, but Bill is late night radio, and he really is late night radio, 11 p.m., I mean in content as well as time. So, oh, how wonderful. That's delightful. I didn't know Priscilla. Is she from away?
She's pretty new in the acting game.
Mm-hmm.
She's a doula.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
We had to interrupt our rehearsal schedule.
And for somebody giving
birth. Babies.
Oh, my God.
For babies coming into the world. And we thought that was a worthy reason not to have rehearsal that night.
I hope it doesn't happen during the production, though. That could be a little
bit. I think we're safe.
That's great. What made, did you choose this, or did the Coaster Group?
The Coaster has a
committee.
Has a committee that chooses the plays, and then the executive director down there, Patrick Lathrop, mm-hmm. assigns directors.
Okay, I know that Susie has directed there, and earlier on this show we talked about Karen directing there.
Mick's going to be directing there.
Mick also.
I haven't directed there in a long time.
That's what I was wondering.
This is the first time I
hadn't heard
a number of years.
Okay.
I did She Loves Me back in 2008.
Okay.
So it's
because you directed at the Astor Street Opry and also at Peer Pressure, which was Susie's production company. When was that, Susie? I remember it vividly.
Seven years ago. I'm not sure.
Is it really that long ago?
It's been a while, yes.
Wow.
And Edward also directed at The River.
Yeah, way back when.
Oh, okay.
Christmas Carol, Don't Dress for Dinner.
Okay. Man, we have a wonderful pool of people here, and it's very exciting, and all we need to do is get together and get our venues straightened out. The Performing Arts Center, we're hoping to rescue that for theater, because it's a good space for theater if we can get it together, and so that will be exciting. Well, break your legs. Okay. And congratulations. This is going to be fun. I'm definitely going to have to see it because it's been around for 65 years. That's, 1950 sounds like yesterday, but I just did the math really fast.
When I went into this play, it's the first time I looked at a play from 1950 and said, this is a period play.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
When I started, 1950 was not a period play.
That's right.
The 30s, 20s, maybe.
Exactly. But. Yeah, well, we're all still here. That's the good news. We're aging, but we're all still here. So, okay, thank you so much. Congratulations on the play, and I'm looking forward to seeing it, maybe even tonight. Who knows?
Thank you, Carol.
Oh,
thank
I won't you. Tell you that because you'll probably... Is there funny in this play?
Yes, there's funny.
Okay.
Yes.
Then you'll know I'm there. Okay.
Right.
Thanks so much for coming in. My guests, Susie Brown and Edward James from Bell Book and Candle, tonight through October 24th at the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach. Again, the number there is 503-436-1242. You can get your tickets right now. And that's assigned seating, so you get your choice. Thanks.
Thank you.
And I wanted to give you a little bit of music from Paul Galbraith, who is performing at the Water Music Festival at the Oysterville Church, which is a wonderful venue way up at the top of the peninsula. And you can check in with watermusicfestival.com. Get yourself a ticket for that. the night before, oh my gosh, there's so much going on around here. October 9th, there is also a production, and that is happening at the Inn at Harbor Village. It's called On the Rocks, and it's a they just are having so much fun, singing group from University of Oregon, but they've been going for quite a while, and they are the official collegiate a cappella group in Oregon. Folks, take in the arts, brighten your life, make sure you bring joy to yourselves and to others, and let's make this a safe, happy, creative place to be. Have a listen to Paul Galbraith, and I've got a little bit of Maurice Ravel lined up, and then I'll let you know what else is happening. Thanks for being here. Galbraith playing on his 8-string guitar. I can't wait to see this and to see him. He's coming in from Scotland to play at the Water Music Festival October 10th. I'll tell you what else is going on. The Coaster Theater, again, Bell, Book, and Candle, tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday. Mystery Dinner Theater, Peninsula Players at Ocean Park Lutheran Church, Friday and Saturday at 6. You do need reservations. You need to call. I'm getting murdered in the morning. 360-244-5700. Columbia River Country Days are happening in Kathlamet. Kylene and Andrew are going to be playing, and Saturday, Jeff Reynolds. The Barbie Maritime Center has the Columbia River Maritime Museum Friday nights, and it's 7 to 9 with Snowblind Traveler, and they're also going to be playing at the Adrift on Sunday. NCRD is featuring Adelaido Bautista, Photographs of the Pacific Northwest. Opening is tonight, 5 to 7. The Adrift is featuring Diedrich Clark and the Social Animals tonight and tomorrow night at 9. And they're going to be at Sunday at the Fort George, while Sunday at the Adrift is the Snowblind Traveler. These guys trade back and forth. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday are our own Luke and Katie, so you can maybe even pick up one of the new albums. PDX Portland is having a vigil for the folks of Roseburg at 7:30 tonight at the Ainsworth United Church of Christ. And the Bay City Arts Center has an art opening tonight, 5 to 7, of Eric Sappington and Jarrett Juarez. Saturday they're having their fun orchestra at 7 o'clock in Tillamook at the Methodist Church with Tillamook and Lincoln City musicians. And then on Sunday, it's in Lincoln City Cultural Center. And Brian, our own Brian Johnstone, former programmer, is opening tonight in Newport at the Oregon Coast Arts Council Gallery with Blurring the Lines. It's 5 to 7, including a talk with his fabulous clay works. And going on to Saturday, Alder Creek Harvest Festival for Nehalem, the Sou'wester with Woolen Men at 8 o'clock, Quirky New Zealand, and Secretly and the Divine Discontents, Saturday night, 8:30 at Gala, and Sunday they'll be at the Sou'wester at 8. Amanita Gallery in Manzanita has an opening at 11 a.m., Hall Art Show, And Trails End is 2 p.m. Solfrid Price in Photography. This is all Saturday. Gearhart Art Walk and Seaside Art Walk. And don't forget the Cannon Beach Art Gallery, Richard Rowland, opening it from 5 to 7, honoring the life of earthen materials. And an introduction to, whoops, I guess not, a botanical drawing with Dorota Haber Lehigh, 1 to 4 in Seaside. And there's so much more going on. Beach Books in Seaside on Monday, Lunch in the Loft. And Thursday is a lot happening. The Art Gallery, also Oysterville Schoolhouse at 10 a.m. And Laura Snyder, also former programmer, is giving a talk on metastatic breast cancer, debunking the myths. That's 7 p.m. at Lovell's Showroom. She is certainly an artist in her own right. Thanks for being here, folks. Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world.